We did have a good time down there, and one of the things that I enjoyed especially is after we ate Chinese there, we went down on the wharf, I guess, I don't know what you call it up there, but the pier, down on the pier, and a tour bus had come in. I think it was from New York City is what the one guy said, and the whole bus was out on that pier, and before they could get back to their bus, they had to either go by Brother Garaway or myself. We had that whole pier blocked off. The first three people I gave a track to, they said, "How much does this cost?" I said, "Oh, it's free. So is the Savior that's inside. Praise the Lord." But we just had a good time and enjoyed that immensely. It's good. Brother Garaway told me never to say this, but the old habits die hard, you know. So I was talking with a fellow yesterday. He said he was a native Indian, and he worshipped the native spirits. And I said, "You know, if you worship native spirits, you're going to bust hell wide open." And praise the Lord. I mean, it just shocked him, I guess. I guess that's what it's meant to do, you know. But praise the Lord. You just get extra boldness. When you talk to people for 2 days about the Lord, you'll get a good boldness. And it's good to carry that around with you. So I encourage you again to do what he said Wednesday night and just start. Just start talking to the Lord. Talking with two people about the Lord. It'll be good for you. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. Just look at a couple things here. We're doing a Bible study out of the Gospel of John, and I'm enjoying it immensely. I'm learning more, and I've only taught one lesson. It's just that I've taught it like four times already. But boy, there's a lot of stuff here from the Apostle John, and let's look at his writing here in his first epistle that he wrote, 1 John chapter 1. Look with me at a couple verses here. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Now think about this. This is an eyewitness account. This is a definition of an eyewitness right here. Think about the first gospel that John wrote. In the beginning was the word of life. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." Father, I praise you for your word, and I thank you again for your son. And I thank you that he was manifested to a little boy down Gang Mills. Thank you, Father, that we can know you through your son. And we're going to glimpse at him here for just a minute, and I pray that your hand would lay heavy on every heart here. We'd leave and walk through this week talking about your only begotten Son, our Savior, the Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Turn back to the book of Revelation. And I want to go ahead and just preach a quick outline that's found in a preamble, I guess you'd call it, or prelude to the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is indeed a revelation of Jesus Christ. In our Bible study, I'm trying to keep everything focused, that all we're going to look at is Christ. Christ is the subject of the Bible from Genesis to maps, okay? I heard a preacher do a study on the Jordan River and how the Jordan River falls. And every fall, he again attributed to some character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ever since I heard that message, I said, hey, even the maps in the Bible talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what this book is about. There's a lot of other people in our Bible study this week. The fellow that was there wanted to talk about a whole bunch of things, but he didn't so much want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ or the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, that's all I want to talk about. Amen. That's what changes lives. That's what makes a difference in this world. And again, it isn't this election coming up. I miss the debates. Sometimes I'm glad. But Brother Cramner gave me a good rundown all the way up to Syracuse again. Listen, it's not whoever we put in the D.C. this next election period that can make a difference in the United States even. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. And this book is, and listen to me, you and I need to be as well. For a long time when I was in the military, I'd spend a lot of time arguing about where Cain got his wife until I figured out that I don't care where Cain got his wife. I hate to rob a line from Hillary, but what possible difference could it make, you know? So, listen, that is not important. What's important in this book is the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever you get a conversation started, I found that the best thing that we could do is turn it and get that conversation to spiritual things and then get it to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it's about and what He did for us. And so let's just look at this preamble here in Revelation chapter 1. The introduction is the first three verses. Let's pick it up in verse 4. John 2, the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. We're going to talk again about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your Bible, like an Oxford Press, printed this as the revelation, St. John the Divine. No, this is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. John said so. And so here we have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we want to look at here. I've got five triplets outlined. Five triplets outlined here, and let's just look at them real quickly, and then we'll go to lunch. It says here that, and from Jesus Christ. Now this is, again, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hold your thought right there for a minute, and let's jump all the way to verse 19 real quickly, and see what John is commanded to write. John, as I said in our Bible study, had been preaching for 60 years. This is 90 years AD. He had been preaching for 60 years. How many preachers you know that have been preaching for 60 years? Praise the Lord. And so he had been preaching for 60 years. He was preaching when Matthew wrote Matthew, when Mark wrote Mark, and when Luke wrote Luke. And he read them all and he knew them personally. And he was on preaching campaigns with these guys. John was a preacher of the gospel. And here he was on the Isle of Patmos for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And look what Jesus, when he appeared to him, told him to write. And he hadn't written yet. In verse 19 says, write the things which thou hast seen. I read the introduction to the epistle. And notice again, he's writing about the things that he have seen, which our eyes have beheld, which our hands have handled. He was an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote the last book of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the Revelation. It's the last book of your Bible. All 66 books written by Jews. Every one of them, again, ordained by God as holy men of God, wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, because all Scripture is given by inspiration. And there's no creed, there's no group, again, that gave us this book. It was given by the eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles. And they dedicated and they authorized every one of these books that we have and we call the Holy Bible. That's the inspired Word of God. And so he's told to write the things that thou hast seen, and he did. The Gospel of John, a tremendous. Then look what it says. And write the things which are. And he wrote there this introduction to the seven churches. And the next two chapters covers the seven messages to the seven churches. That's the things that are. That's where we are at right now, I believe, in a Laodicean church age as you look at those seven messages. And so the dispensation of grace, don't be afraid of that. Paul wasn't afraid of it. We dare not be afraid of it. He wrote to this period that we're living in right now, where it's never been easier to be a born-again Christian. It's never been easier to know God personally. And he wrote the things that are. And then, again, one of the exciting things we'll look at more in October, he wrote the things which shall be hereafter. I want you to know that it's important for a Christian to know all three of those areas. And to keep yourself grounded. Study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There's things that's written in the Old Testament that's for the Old Testament. There's things that's written right now for the church age. Pay attention. Listen, listen. There's things that's written to the saints in the tribulation period that's for the saints in the tribulation period. And it's not for us enduring to the end. It's for them. And so you got to rightly divide the word of truth as we read this precious book. And so here again, he was commanded by this Christ right here that we're talking about to write these three areas. And boy, oh boy, did he. All right. He wrote them down. Let's look again at this introduction starting there in verse 5. From Jesus Christ, who is, number one, the faithful witness. Who is, number two, the first begotten of the dead. Who is, number three, the prince of the kings of the earth. And so again, there's a triplet right there. There's three things that he is. He is the faithful witness. You know, in John 1, he called him the Word. In the beginning was a word. What is a word anyway? That's what we use to communicate. It's a communication device. That's what we use again to teach and to show things. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. Lots of times it's used synonymously with the Word. Hallelujah. We can hold the Word. This is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Word of God. And in that sense, it's used in both sense, that the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word that sits in our lap right now is, again, the witness. He's the witness. He's the first begotten of the dead. John 1 goes on, and he's given, again, an introduction to Christ in John 1, but it's more figurative. And it says, in him was life, and now it's the dead. But he rose again, and he is life forevermore. And the life was the light of the world, it says in John 1. And notice here again that he is the prince of kings of the earth. He is coming back, and he is going to be the king of kings and the Lord of lords. Revelation chapter 19. We heard a good disposition on a wedding and why we do things in a wedding, and why everything that we do in a Christian wedding is a picture of what Christ is going to do for us in Revelation chapter 19. It's just precious. It's exciting again to understand that he's going to come for his bride. And so he's again here going to be the prince. That doesn't mean you think of a prince as little. This is the greatest of. The prince is the greatest of. When the prince is the next one to be in the line of throne, he's the greatest of the children. But this is a prince of kings. There's no greater. So we see three things in that triplet. Look at again, unto him, the Bible says. Unto him that, three things. Watch for the triplet here. He loved us, didn't he? God so loved. He washed us from our sins. And praise the Lord, he washed us in his own blood. Yeah. And that's the only washing that you can get. I like to say that when I got saved, I got quickened, I got indwelt, but I also got baptized into Christ. And there's no water at that baptism, praise the Lord. That's not a water baptism like the Protestants teach. That's again that I'm wholly immersed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't wash us in water. He washes us in his blood. Look at verse 6. Third thing that he did for us here. He loved us. He washed us. And then he made us kings and priests. I've talked again about wine as a mocker, strong drinks raging. Here we live in the middle of the wine belt. And listen, I don't believe in total abstinence from alcohol. Unless you're a born-again Christian. If you're a born-again Christian, you are a king and you are a priest. And kings and priests had total abstinence. There's a lot of verses and people say, well, Jesus made wine. Stop with that, all right? Again, understand that wine's a mocker, strong drinks raging. Don't even look on it. It's when it's red and giveth its color in the cup. We're talking about any of the liquors that's given here. And there's plenty of description, again, to understand that it's not for thee, O Lemuel, it's not for thee to drink strong drink. But you have to have your mind with you again. It's for those that are perishing. Let them drink again. So I'm not for abstinence. If you're perishing, you know, go ahead and have a few. But listen, if you're a born-again Christian, you got more important things to do than kill brain cells with alcohol or any of the other substances that are around. So he made us kings and priests. That's a rabbit. I won't go too far down that trail. Look at the next thing it says of us here. Washed us and made us kings unto God his Father. And then it says, to him be glory, and to him be dominion. And it's going to last forever. Now I had to stretch my noun just a little bit to get that forever to be the third thing. But listen, there's glory and there's dominion, and it's going to last forever. And it's given to him. Third triplet there again that we see that these are attributed to him. Glory. And we're to glory in him and to give him all glory. Dominion. He's going to be in charge of all things, and through him all things shall consist. And it's going to last forever and ever. Amen. Behold, you know how to say amen in Greek? Amen. Verse 7. Behold, watch for three things again, another triplet. Behold, he cometh with clouds. He's going to come. 1 Thessalonians says again that he's going to come, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. I was running down. I wanted to get seven things. I was asking the grandkids to help me. Seven things, and my wife to help me. Seven things about clouds. Can you come up with seven things about clouds? Sure, you could. Listen, there's a great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 12. We see it now through a glass darkly. It's like we're in a cloud. But then we're going to see him face to face, and all things will be clear. If you've ever been under a cloud of depression and despair, listen, that cloud's going to be removed again. You think of Isaiah. He said, in the year that King Uzziah, was it Uzziah? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and smoke filled that whole temple, and a cloud again, his Shekinah cloud of glory. Again, indicates his presence. Think of the clouds that we have again in our life. And here he's going to come, and he's going to meet us in the clouds. And here's the promise right here in Revelation, that he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him. We don't know how that works, and I don't think he's going to need closed circuit TV. And I don't think you're going to miss out if you don't have cable. I think, again, that every eye is going to see him when he comes. And if man can do it with a little camera, put it down, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the maker of this old world, he can do it again. Yeah. So every eye is going to see him. And then notice the third thing. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Zechariah talks again about those that pierced him are going to see him and receive him as their Lord and Savior. I believe that Israel is going to be saved. The nation Israel is going to be saved in this kingdom age. And so again, notice again that his glory, and notice his coming with clouds, every eye shall see, and there's going to be some that bewail him. The fifth triplet is found here in verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. Three, four times, I think, in Revelation, we find him described, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Alpha and Omega. Isaiah talks about that Jehovah God is the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. And listen, he's the Alpha and Omega, same thing. That's Jehovah God in the Old Testament is right here. The Lord Jesus Christ in our New Testament, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. So we find again him taking a title of God. Look at the next one he gives here. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. I'm not good at Hebrew. I'm not good at all. I struggle through it. But I love every ounce of it again. I made it through the alphabet, okay, when I was a teenager. I've just now got so I can read on a first grade reading level in Hebrew. But there's a few words that just stand out. And one of them is right here. Let me go ahead and give it to you. It says, the Lord said, which is and which was and which is to come. You know how you say that in Hebrew? I am. That's it. It's not that I used to be. It's not that I'm going to be. It's that I am, which is and which was and which is to come. He's claiming the title of God again, that I am. And then look at the last in verse 8. He is the Almighty. mighty. Let's see how good we can do at this. Somewhere in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God's next." What's the next one? Come on, it'll make a Baptist show. "The Everlasting Father." That child that's born in that manger is going to be called the Everlasting Father. Well, you shouldn't pray to Jesus. You should only pray to God the Father, because that's what Jesus did. Listen, He is the Everlasting Father. And we do pray to Jesus. I love Romans chapter 8. It says, we say the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells the new believer. You know what the Romans chapter 8 says? It says not only the Holy Spirit indwells you, but the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will He indwells you. Not only that, the one that raised the Son from the tomb, He indwells you. We are indwelt by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Joseph Smith, be gone, praise the Lord. We have the Trinity living inside of us. Yeah. Here He is called the Almighty. As we look again at the challenge that's here, is to describe the King of Glory. Bev and I read a psalm, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and it said, "Who is the King of Glory?" Here He is, right here. Father, praise You. Thank You that we can meet. We stand in awe of Your book. We worship Your only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior. We worship Him today. We pray to Him today. He's the one that's made all the difference in our lives, and He's caused again that we could be lifted out of a pit and set on a solid rock, and we praise You and thank You for that. Father, as I just pray again, even as we've read this short section from the revelation of Your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that You teach us to exalt His name. Teach us to be excited about who's living inside of us. Teach us to walk through this week different, because again, we're indwelt by Your precious Son who saved us. Not only so, but Lord, we can walk hand in a nail-pierced hand this week with Your Son. We can't understand that, but we want to do it, and we want Your name on our lips as we walk through the week. Bless, hear each prayer again as we lift to Thee, and change our lives, change our walk, change our behavior, even because of this worship service. We thank You for every song that's been sung. We thank You for every word that's been spoken. And ask again that You change our hearts and move us a little bit more to the image of Your dear Son. Because of it, in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand for an invitation. And let's just sing a cappella. We'll sing this 308, I think it is, in our songbook. "All to Jesus I Surrender." If you need to come to an altar to mean that, go ahead. If you have an altar that you need to come to pray for someone, let's just surrender. Let's just again give it to the Lord Jesus Christ today in our worship service. 308. "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence freely give.